You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You never get right with God by being religious.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us forgiveness and life in your Son, Jesus Christ, having your righteousness instead of depending on our own, and looking for your salvation instead of trying to make it on our own. Sow in our hearts this day the seed of faith in Jesus Christ, and help it to grow and bloom in love toward you and toward one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking at himself, as all of us have to do now and then, at what he had been and what he was now, what he had done and what he was doing now, what had been important to him once and what was important now. St. Paul made a remarkable statement about himself. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. The man was not bragging, as people often do, about their own accomplishments, especially their religious accomplishments. He was talking not about himself, but about Christ. Even when he was talking about his own personal experiences, he kept telling people that he, Paul, was not important. Christ is. One of the easiest things in the world to counterfeit is religious experience. Because religious experience affects the inner life of a person, it is difficult for people to distinguish the genuine from the counterfeit. It's difficult, but not impossible. The people in the apostolic age had the same problem with Paul. Here he was, an ardent religionist who completely reversed his field. One day he was out doing his level best to eradicate the very mention of the name of Christ, and the next day he was telling people that he had personally experienced the lordship of Christ. Having met Christ personally in all his lordship after his resurrection from the dead, and having been overcome by the grace of God with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Did people wonder about that? They certainly did. Many of those early Christians were not too eager to have this new convert around. A good long time after those events on the Damascus Road, when Paul went up to Jerusalem for the first time, he saw only Peter and James. The rest of the Christian community, apparently, still remembered what he had been and wondered what he had become. Many people seem to have the idea, among them many Christians, that the encounter with Christ on the Damascus Road made Paul an apostle almost overnight. Paul himself tells us that it did not happen that way. That meeting with Christ was very important. Paul must have told about it often. On three different occasions recorded in the New Testament, he told the story again. However, from Paul himself and what he has said in the New Testament, we know that it took anywhere from 7 to 17 years until he took his place as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and his apostolic mission was recognized by the church. During that time, he learned a lot. He learned about the faith of Jesus Christ. He learned it personally, as people have to learn it wherever they are. You can't just learn it from somebody else. You have to learn it personally. Paul had been one of those religionists whose lives are devoted to running down somebody else's religion. Now that he had met Christ, everything was different. I was circumcised the eighth day, he said, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What things once were gain to me, now I count loss for Christ. That's a kind of profit and loss statement on his own life. Looking back, he could count himself as good as the next man. That's the criterion many people use to determine how religious they are. They're as good as the next fellow. I wish I could tell you how many times I've heard people say, it doesn't make any difference really what you believe, because we're all headed to the same place. Not so, said Paul. It just isn't true. I was as good as the next man, but I found out that that's not good enough. All that goodness, good as it was, I have to put in the loss column. The gain came with Jesus Christ. In this case, the gain outweighs the loss. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's what he learned during those years of personal experience. He learned it from God's word, what God himself has told us about himself. He's a God of judgment. It's in his law. He's a God of grace, kindness, and forgiveness. That's in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. There is a righteousness of the law, which is a lot better than unrighteousness, the kind we see all around us in the world today. But it's not good enough. There is another righteousness apart from the law, the righteousness which is of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That righteousness is God's gift in Jesus Christ. Just as faith in Jesus Christ is God's gift by which people take hold of the righteousness of God himself. The secret of life, Paul had found out personally, is righteousness. Contrary to what millions of people seem to think, it's not the righteousness upon which people pride themselves, their own righteousness. That righteousness automatically becomes self-righteousness the moment they begin to take pride in it and pride themselves upon it. There's no humility in that kind of righteousness. There's a lot of pride and prejudice and passion, but no humility. The fact is that the righteousness upon which people pride themselves probably has done as much harm to the world as outright unrighteousness. It gives people the idea that somehow they are on the right track, when actually they're just as much on the wrong track as people who know they are on the wrong track. The righteousness of the world, such as it is, earns the wrath of God in exactly the same way as unrighteousness brings down upon people the wrath of God. This is a hard saying. It's very difficult to take, especially by people who've always prided themselves on their righteousness. They try very hard. They do not embezzle the funds of their company. They do not engage in prostitution. They work for human betterment. They try, and try hard. But if that is all they have, just that and nothing more, it has to be put into the loss column, in spite of the fact that they look just as good or even better than others who live around them. This is a hard saying and very hard to take. Where does that put you? In the same place it puts me. No matter how hard we try, and a lot of people don't seem to try very hard at all, none of us can look at his life and say, everything I have done has been exactly what God would want me to do. Can you say that? I can't. Neither could Paul. Right as he thought he was, and zealous in pursuing that rightness, he was wrong, he said. The same thing is true of everyone who tries to get right with God by his own efforts, his own rightness, his own righteousness. The temptation at this point is to try to wiggle out of the situation, perhaps by saying, well, if I were to rate myself on a scale from 1 to 10, I suppose I would come out at about... But that doesn't work. It might work with everyone else, but it won't work with God. I don't really have to tell you that. You know that. God created us all for glory, for His glory. To rate a 10, if you want to put it that way. Unless you come out scoring that high, by His standards, not ours, you're in trouble. One of Christ's men said, unless we live up to God's demands in every respect, we don't make it. We don't make it at all. Even one little weak link in the chain can undo us. That may sound like an overstatement, but it isn't. The human situation is like that of a man hanging over a cliff 100 feet high, hanging onto a chain which is only 50 feet long. What happens when one link of that chain goes to pieces? You know what happens. That's the real human situation. It's what makes our righteousness, as the Bible says, like filthy rags. Filthy rags can't clean up anything. They have to be cleaned up before they can do anybody any good. The cleanup has to come from God Himself. That's what Paul discovered. He discovered it in Jesus Christ. It was like a whole new world opening up before him the moment he met Jesus Christ. He had to make a 180-degree turn from himself to God. It wasn't a case of getting right with God, but of being put right with God. That's what Christ has done, said Paul. He put people right with God by his sacrificial death, his atonement for human sin, his giving of himself in order that people might be justified by his act of righteousness, put right with God by his sacrificial offering of himself for the life of the world. The fact of the matter is that you can never get right with God by being religious. Paul's autobiography is the epitome of religiosity. By birth, background, upbringing, actions, virtues, and experience, he probably turned out as well as anybody could be expected to turn out going that route. This good man was good enough to try to put down others who were not as good. Religion produces some good results. It makes people better than someone else, and better than they might be without religion. Religion, as I'm talking about it now, is what the Bible usually calls natural religion. It's what people have by nature. At their best, people pursue values and exert efforts to be true to some standard, some vision, some way of life that appeals to them. But is being as nice as you can good enough? Paul's discovery is that it is not good enough. Even our best efforts do not satisfy God. Our own best efforts are really good for nothing. The worst part about them is that they make us think our doing will make Him sit up and take notice. Only God can satisfy God. His call is to perfection. Perfection will never come unless He brings it about. It's His kind of perfection, His righteousness. It's His righteousness that was doing its thing on the cross of Jesus Christ. His wrath had its way that day, burning His own Son to a cinder. The total lightning of God's wrath homed in on His own Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God took it all, the guilt, the punishment, the disgrace, and death for us all. That's Christ, whom His Father raised from the dead, because He did what He did. And His Father declared Him to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. All the good things we do to make ourselves righteous are garbage, said St. Paul. It's all in the loss column. The gain column is the one that God builds in your life, your own little life, through the gift of His Son, the gift of faith in His Son, the gift of righteousness by faith in His Son, the gift of life through the righteousness that comes by faith in His Son. What's gain? It's life. It's found in Christ. Not having your own righteousness, the good things you do, which are of the law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ. It's knowing Him and the power of His resurrection, recognizing His lordship, and receiving with humility the gift of life from God Himself. It's having the fellowship of Christ's sufferings and going to Him where He is, crucified outside a city wall. It's like dying and coming to life again. Paul put it personally, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It isn't all one great success story. It's a struggle. Recognizing that what's good enough for God is good enough for you. It's going his way instead of your own way. It's accepting God's standard for your life. It's recognizing God's way of doing things and accepting his righteousness that he gives in Christ. It's going from day to day in the service of God and learning by personal experience the grace and goodness of God day by day. Not as though I had already attained, said Paul, neither were already perfect. I follow after, so that I might apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Religion is worldwide. People are not saved by religion. No religion is satisfactory in God's sight. It does not satisfy God. What he's looking for is faith. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that people might have faith in him. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The greatness of God is that he gives his grace in the face of our best efforts and of our worst failures. The grace of God is that he forgives the past for the sake of his son, Jesus, and he guarantees the future with his righteousness. Also, in Jesus, when you're counting things up, the good and the bad, remember that the best things you've ever done are still in the loss column without the grace of God, his undeserved love in Christ Jesus. What you have in Christ is the righteousness of God embodied in that God-forsaken man who died for you and now lives in the same way he died, by God. Live yourself by God. Found in Jesus Christ, not having your own righteousness, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. That's life. For me, said Paul, living is Christ. The things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's life. In Christ Jesus. Amen.